That was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, I shouldn't have to say anything. You've all said it. And I have to tell you, the Lord's pleased with what you children just did, because that was absolutely tremendous. Some good singing as well. Good singing. I hadn't really geared what I was going to say to children. I mean, I didn't really know what was happening, to tell you the truth. And I was told I was only to speak for a wee while. Well, honestly, I'm not just saying this. That is particularly difficult. It is difficult. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to speak as though I'm speaking to adults. Your children won't mind. But I'm going to show the children something that is mine. So if you can bear with me till I'm finished, then I'll let you have a look at a couple of things that I got. And I shouldn't be looking at them until Christmas Day, but, well, if you're sitting nice then, also Betty brought you something good, so it's worth waiting for. I'm going to read a verse in a place in the Bible called 2 Corinthians. And it's one verse, so you don't have to bother anyone. It's chapter 8 and it's verse 9, and it says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through your poverty, through his poverty, you might be made rich." You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his becoming poor, can be made rich. Many places in the Bible where we find the Christmas story and the children have gone through, like Matthew and Mark, and even find it in John, you find it in Luke, the children through Matthew and Luke, and into the Old Testament with Micah, and you would have got it in Isaiah. There's many other places. But you know, here in 2 Corinthians is a wonderful reminder, just in this verse, of the Christmas story, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ coming poor till we might be rich. So we seem to speak every year, and people tell me every year about it's time we got back to the real meaning of Christmas. It's time we got back to the reality of what Christmas is about. Nice to give and receive gifts, isn't it? We love that. But you know, it's better to put our emphasis on the people rather than on the gifts themselves. We like to emphasize the children, and we like to tell them at this time of year that it's actually better to give than to receive, and that's good. But Christians, it's emphasizing Jesus rather than Santa Claus. We're all delighted when we see the joy of children, even at the thought of Santa. It's a wonderful thing. We love the thrill it gives us. And I miss my children being young, you know, and having the joy of knowing that Santa isn't very far away now. All these things are incomplete, though. That's not the real Christmas. For the vast majority, at this time of year, whether they're saved or not, that means whether they're Christians or not, their thoughts go to a baby. And who can't love a wee baby? The thoughts go to that sweet wee baby we saw, pictured there in a wee cot there, in a wee cradle. A picture of a manger. Nobody minds thinking about a wee child. They have no threat. They feel no threat from a wee child. It's heart-touching. But you know, for a real Christian, if you're saved, and some people don't like that word, it's a good biblical word. If you have never confessed Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you haven't realized that that was why he came, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save. It was said to Joseph, "Fear not, for he shall save." So, you know, it was an astonishing thing, as I say, for Christians. The amazing thing about it, the astonishing thing, is the incarnation, the great mystery of the birth of the Lord Jesus is that he was God. This baby was God. God manifest in flesh, clothed in human flesh, 100% man he would be, and 100% God at the same time. Great mystery. Great mystery. And he didn't come to make civil peace. You know, angel said, peace and goodwill toward men, peace to men of goodwill. It's not to make civil peace. Whilst the Lord is still in heaven, although he's with us, there will never be civil peace in this world. Men cry, peace, peace, when there's no peace. But he did come to make peace and goodwill, but between man and God, to bring peace between man and God, to bring you into peace with God. If you're not saved, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your own personal Savior, you're at enmity with God. You say, I have nothing against God. You have. If you don't know him in a personal way, the Bible says you're an enemy of God. You're at enmity. He came to go to a cross and satisfy the justice of God on your behalf and mine, so that that peace and goodwill would be between you and I and God. You know, God's goodwill could be shown towards us in his peace, because when the Lord Jesus Christ, God's holiness through him had been vindicated, and God could withhold the sword of his wrath, which was raised against those who don't believe. For those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord sheathes the sword of his wrath. He puts it away. Well, you know, he came to make it possible for God within his justice to offer peace toward us. There's a way to heaven now. God's justice is absolutely satisfied, and his holiness is vindicated because of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross. The price required for sin's been paid. The Lord Jesus paid it on Calvary's cross. That's why he came. Now, God can allow you to have peace with him. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he is the image of the invisible God. God came to this earth. God walked this scene of time as a man. The image of the invisible God. We can't see God, but we see him through the Lord Jesus Christ. He was God as a man. And when we read this book, the Bible, we can see him in this book. We see the Lord Jesus. That was why he came, to show the image of the invisible God, to make God visible to us. He is the express image of God, the Bible says. God in a human body. John says, he became flesh. God became flesh and dwelt amongst us. God became flesh and lived here, that baby. God becoming flesh dwelt amongst us. You know, so Christmas is lovely, but it's not just a bunch of holly. Is that all it is? Not just a bunch of glittering things and lights, and that's beautiful. Time Bethany Hall and go look at the Christmas tree. Eh? That's lovely. But he enables us to see God. God coming in the form of a man. You know, there's a verse in Romans, and it says this about him. The first chapter of the book of Romans, you'll read this. He was declared to be the Son of God with power. Declared, that word declared, you'll find the word declared throughout the Bible, but not this one. This is a different word from all the other words that say declared. It's from a word that's difficult to understand. It's called harizo. Or the real way to read it is harizo. Harizo, does that not remind you of something? Horizon. That's where we get our word horizon. He was horizoned to be the Son of God. I can't see God. I can only see as far as my human eyes will allow me to see to the horizon. I can't see beyond the horizon. But he was horizoned. The Lord Jesus came within my horizon that I might see God. And he might be able to tell me what was beyond that horizon that I can't see, that horizon that you and I can't see. He came to tell us what is beyond that horizon. What's there, Lord? What's beyond my horizon, Lord? Heaven's there, Thomas. Heaven's there. Lord, I want to be there. When I leave this earth, Lord, I want to be there, Thomas. I'm the way. Is it beyond your horizon? Has he come within your horizon? Do you see him? What else is beyond our horizon, Lord? What's there? There's golden streets there, Thomas. Golden streets. Oh, Lord, I want to walk those golden streets with you. Lord, I want to walk with you. I tell you, if you know him this Christmas and you walk with him down here, you'll walk these streets that he walked. We've never seen these streets, but he has, and he's walked them. And he says, Thomas, there are streets of gold beyond your horizon. What else is there, Lord? Lord, what do you see beyond the horizon I can't see? Thomas, there's eternity there. There's joy there. There's happiness there. It never stops. Lord, I want to be there. I want eternal life. Lord, I want to be beyond the horizon with you and walk these streets of gold and be in heaven and praise you forever. Is he in your horizon? Do you not want to see him? Is that babe who came, that man who did these mighty works, do you not see him this morning? My dear friend in the gathering this morning, he wants to see you. He came to see you. He came to save you. He came to go to a cross to die for your sin. That's what Christmas is. That's why he came. To come into your horizon. He was horizoned. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He became poor. But he was rich. He who was rich, that's what I said, isn't it? I said he who was rich became poor, he was rich. Was he rich as that wee baby that we were thinking about this morning? Was he rich then when he was laid in a manger? And do you know what that a manger really is? It's the feeding trough of an animal. Oh, we get cards and there's a lovely glowing picture. There's that baby laid in the manger. There's Mary and Joseph, and there's golden lights all around. It wasn't like that. It wasn't like that. A manger smells abominably. It's the feeding trough of an animal. And the Lord of glory was willing to come as a child and lie in the feeding trough of an animal. How low can you get? What a stoop he took. Was he rich then? No. Was he rich when he walked this scene of time and he healed the brokenhearted and he made the lame to walk and the blind to see and cleansed the leper? Was he rich then? No. He said he had nowhere to lay his head. My, he didn't even have a grave of his own. Was he rich then? No. No. Was he rich when he went to a cross and died for your sin and mine? Was he rich then? No. He emptied himself. He emptied himself. And he went obediently into death. That you and I might have that eternal life that's beyond the horizon. The Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity. He was rich. He was rich when? He was rich before he added humanity to his deity. He was rich in heaven. He was rich in honour. All the hosts of heaven worshipped him continually and never stopped worshipping him. He was rich in honour. He wasn't rich in honour when he came to the earth, was he? Despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Away with him. We won't have this to reign over us. We have one king at Caesar. The religious leaders. Religion won't save you. They cried, crucify him. Crucify him. Take him away. We won't have this to reign over us. Is he in your horizon? Or are you saying, away with him? Keep him beyond the horizon. He was rich. He was rich in honour. Rich in power. Made all things just with a word. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He was God. In the beginning, what a lovely title. He's the Word. In the beginning he was the Word. Was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Rich in honour. Poor in honour. On the earth. A man of sorrows on the earth. Well acquainted with grief. Listen to me now. You'll be glad I'm nearly finished. Okay? You'll be glad I'm nearly finished. Did you smile when I said that there? I'm nearly finished. But it says, he became poor. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Though he was rich, for your sakes, he wasn't made poor. He wasn't made poor. He became poor. He voluntarily became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. Oh, do you know how rich he wants to make us? More than millionaires. More than millionaires. All the millionaires in this world put together could never add up to what he wants to give you, to how rich he wants to make you. You can have an inheritance in heaven that is undefiled, and it can never fade away. And you can have it reserved. You know how you reserve a seat? Betty and I went into a concert thing one night. And all people are all getting out of the way to let us pass. They're passing. Went to sit down, this lady tapped and she said, sorry, that's reserved. There's no reserved places at Calvary's Cross. There's no reserved places in heaven. But you know there's an inheritance. That you can reserve it. You can put your name on it. Reserved in heaven for you who believe. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ this Christmas. Bring him into your horizon. Don't keep him away beyond the horizon where you can't see him. You bring him in. Do you know how close you can bring him? Right into your heart. And you can say, Lord Jesus, save me from my sins. What a gift. Make this the happiest Christmas I've ever had.